I'm reminded today of an earlier parable that took place in a vineyard. I preached on back here back in August a parable from Matthew 18 about another vineyard, about a bunch of day laborers who came early in the morning and they worked all day long for the agreed upon wage. And during the day, more laborers came and they began working, some mid-morning, some at noon, some mid-afternoon, and some just before the end of work. And those who came early in the morning for the agreed-upon daily wage thought to themselves, when they saw that the people who came last got paid as much as they had been promised, they said, "Aha, we're going to get even more than we were promised for a day's labor. After all, those who came late received the full daily wage. We're going to get more." When it came to them, they got what they had agreed to, the daily wage. And they were upset and they were angry with the vineyard owner. And they said, "These people who came at the end of the day got as much as you're giving to us, and yet they didn't work during the heat of the day. They didn't work during the sweat of the afternoon. They didn't work under the grilling sun all day long like we did. They just worked a short period of time, and yet you're going to give them as much as you're going to give us. That can't be fair." And the vineyard owner says, "Are you going to be upset with me for me being gracious to others? Is it not mine to do with as I please? Don't be jealous about what others get. All anyone is promised is the daily wage, the amount they need." This story reminds me of that parable in a couple of ways, but it is in other ways far more pointed, far more powerful, far more perilous in a parable. It's a parable that strikes to my soul when I was preparing to preach this week, and I opened my Bible on Monday morning and I looked at the lectionary readings and I looked at the Bible and I was reading the passages. I saw that one of the appointed passages for today was from Philippians, another one of my favorite passages, and oh, I wanted to preach on that so much. That would have been the easy thing to do. And I looked at the Exodus passage on the law, and I thought, oh, that would be fun to preach on. That would be the easy thing to do. And then I opened Matthew, and I read the gospel passage, and it went, "Preach me, preach me, preach me." And yet it's the hard one to preach on today. Here we have a parable about a vineyard owner who's built the vineyard. He's made the hedge, he's made the fence, he's prepared the ground, he's built the watchtower, and he's made the wine press, and he has everything ready to go, and he goes out and he gets some tenant farmers, some sharecroppers. Now, mom is the daughter of a sharecropper from Delta County, Ben Franklin, Texas. But he was an honest sharecropper, right, Mom? He was an honest, my granddad was an honest tenant farmer, an honest sharecropper. These guys were not. They worked the fields while the vineyard owner prepared it and then left and went to a far country. They stayed and worked the fields. Then the vineyard owner calls and sends some servants, some messengers to these tenant farmers, these sharecroppers, to collect his part of the proceeds from the land, the produce of the land. And what do? Instead of turning over the master's portion of the produce from the land, they beat, they kill, and they stone the servants whom he sent to collect the produce. And so he sends more servants, and they do the same to them. They beat them, they kill them, they stone them. So the vineyard owner says to himself, "Well, I'll send my son, and certainly they will respect my son." And when his son arrives, the sharecroppers say to themselves, "Aha, now we can kill the son of the vineyard owner and gain his inheritance for ourselves." And that's exactly what they did. And I love how the passage ends. Jesus says to them, or he asks them, what will happen to these tenants? What will the vineyard owner do to these tenants? And they said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give them the produce at the harvest time. Therefore, Jesus says in verse 43, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you, he says, and given to those who produce the fruits of the kingdom. Ooh, that just sends a chill down my back. Sends a chill down my back because I realize so frequently I am like the scribes and the Pharisees, those to whom Jesus was speaking. I'm so very much like one of those tenant farmers, thinking that what I have been doing in the field and the labor that I have been executing in the field is my labor, my product, my thing. It's what I have done, and I am do it. And yet it's not. It's not mine. It's not my field. It's not my wine press. It's not my hedge. It's not my grapes. It's God's field. It's God's wine press. It's God's hedge. It's God's grapes. It's God's produce. I am simply blessed to work in the field. I am simply blessed to work in the field. And my friends, that's true for each and every one of us. We are simply blessed to work in the field. We are called to work this field that God has given us. We are called to work these hedges. We're called to run this wine press and make produce for our master, for the vineyard owner, for our master. This passage tells us about God, it tells us about ourselves, and it tells us about Jesus Christ. Firstly, about God, it tells us that God trusts us. Now, the vineyard owner could have stayed behind with a whip and servants to watch over the workers. He could have stayed behind and he could have watched and made sure they did their job and that they did it right. He could have micromanaged everything that they did and made sure that everything they did was exactly the way he expected it to be. And then when the produce was ready, there would have been no problem. Likewise, God trusts us. He gives us what we need, and then he gives us the freedom to act, to do what God calls us to do. God trusts us. He doesn't micromanage us. He doesn't pull strings and make us do everything that we do. He lets us act of our own free will and even make mistakes. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes we learn far more from our mistakes than from the things that we do right. I learn far more from the skinned up spiritual knees, the spiritual bumps on the head, the spiritual stubbed toes, and the physical ones too for that matter, than I learn from doing things right. I learn far more about what it means to be a child of God, to be a worker in the vineyard, when I see my mistakes in the light of what they are and then can correct them in the future. It's easier to see from mistakes and learn from mistakes than from when we do things right. I think God knew that when he gave us the freedom of choice. God is trusting of us. God is also patient with us. The vineyard owner sent servant after servant after servant to collect the produce. Sent servant and servant got beaten. Sent servant and servant got killed. Sent servant and servant got stoned. Sent servant and servant got beaten. And so forth and so forth. continually sending servants. He was patient. I bet it was rather trying to be his servants. I would have said, hey, master, this isn't working. Don't send me. They're going to beat or stone or kill me. Never think too much about these sort of bit players in the Bible, do you? What it would have been like to be the servant of the vineyard owner. I hope I'm way down the line. I'm going to be hiding over here, yeah. I'm going to hide over here behind the plant and hope the master doesn't see me and send me to collect it from these ungrateful tenants. He sends servant after servant after servant. And then, in his patience, he sends his son. Certainly they'll listen to him. Certainly they'll do what they're supposed to do with him. And they kill him. God is patient with us, friends. Praise God, he's patient with us. God trusts us and gives us the freedom to act here in his vineyard. And he's patient with us. He calls us. He pleads with us. He woos and draws us to follow him and to do his will and to follow his commandments in our living. He woos and draws and is patient with us when we go astray. And he's patient with us when we make mistakes. And he's patient with us when we don't do as we are called to do. And he continually sends messengers, people, angels in human flesh to speak to us, to guide us, to call us. He's patient. His wealth of patience is amazing. He trusts us, he's patient with us, and he does, however, execute judgment. He trusts us to live and to do as he calls us to do without pulling the strings, without micromanaging us. And he's patient with us when we make mistakes and when we fail. But there comes a time when God executes judgment. When we make mistakes, there are consequences. God's forgiven. Excuse me, God is forgiving. God's forgiving, God's kind, God's patient, but God also executes judgment. The judgment in this story is clear. He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Therefore, I tell you, said Jesus, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. God is patient. God is trusting. But God also executes judgment. Part of the message that just gives me the squinchies here. The part that sends the shiver down my spine. Because I know in my own living that God's judgment, when it is executed, can be difficult, can be at times painful, but the most terrifying aspect of it comes when God takes away that responsibility, that duty, that calling that he places on us. When God takes away the calling to work in the vineyard and gives it to another, that is the most terrifying act of judgment that I can think of. What else? How else can we possibly understand hell than being removed from the presence and power and grace of God and having the calling to serve in the kingdom of God eternally removed from us? God's judgment is there too. As it was with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, as it was in the story with those who killed the son and the servants and beat them, so also God's judgment can be with us when we fail to do as He has called us. God is patient, God is trusting, but God also executes judgment. This story also tells us about ourselves. Firstly, we've been given a great privilege. The vineyard was equipped with everything, a hedge, a wine press, a watchtower to keep watch for vagrants and animals that would be coming to eat of the grapes. I was shocked to discover that my dog, Dorcas, adores grapes. I was standing watching TV one day, and I was just coming from the kitchen into the living room, and I was eating a handful of grapes, you know how you might do. And I'm standing there watching the television, and some thing on TV, and I'm standing there not realizing what's going on, and I feel this tugging at my hand, and I look down, and Dorcas is up on her hind legs with her front paws on the back of the couch eating grapes from my hand. I didn't know dogs like grapes. Oh, she loves them. She adores grapes. Vagrants and animals will come and they'll eat of the vineyard. So you have a watchtower to protect it, and a wine press to press the grapes, and a hedge to keep it all in. All of these have been given to us. God doesn't force us to go out and start it all from scratch. God has given us a family of faith. God has given us a community of belief. God has given us the Holy Scriptures. God has given us the faith that we live. What we are called to do is to take the gifts that we have been given, these means of grace that we have been given, and put them into action in our lives. Like the tenants, like the sharecroppers in the story, we have been given the vineyard in which to work. We have been given great privilege. This also tells us that we have been given great freedom to choose to follow God's will or ignore it. And we are indeed responsible. Responsible when we fail. Responsible when we stumble. Responsible when we misstep. Now, we may want to try to blame Adam and Eve. Well, that's easy to do. Just like they, remember, God asked Adam, you know, why did you eat of the fruit of the tree? And he says, well, she gave it to me. The woman that you gave it to me to eat, and I ate. And God turns to the woman and says, why did you do it? And she says, the snake, he did it. He's the one who gave it to me. They're buck passers, as we heard. They like to pass the buck. They don't want to accept responsibility for their actions. And neither do we. And blaming it on Adam and Eve is too easy. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have failed to do what God has called us to do. We have stumbled in our walk and have stoned or beat or killed the messengers of God. We are the reason Jesus died and went to the cross. You and I, we together crucified the Son of God. We are the Son killers, my friends. Not the Roman soldiers who drove the nails. Not the Governor Pilate, who washed his hands of it, not Herod, not the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priest, no. You and me, we killed Jesus. We are the Son killers, my friends. We are the ones who stumble and fall. We are the reason Jesus died, and we bear responsibility for that. Finally, this story tells us about Jesus. Firstly, he identifies himself as being different than the messengers. The messengers in the story are the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Micah, Amos. The prophets were the messengers whom God sent, whom the Israelites beat and murdered and stoned. The prophets were those messengers who came to collect the produce. He is the vineyard owner, God the Father's Son, whom we killed. That's what it first tells us, that he is identifying himself with the son of the vineyard owner. And also it tells us that Jesus knew what was in store. Jesus knew what was coming next. Jesus knew what was going to be required. Jesus knew what the Father's will was for him, and he didn't go another direction. The son of the vineyard owner could have called, you know, troops to go with him to take back the vineyard and to throw out the tenants and to have them put to death. He could have done all of that, but he didn't. He went, and they threw him out and killed him. Jesus could have called angels down to take him from the cross, but he didn't. He could have called legions of angels to come and defend him against the Romans and against the Jewish authorities, but he didn't. He went to the cross and died there for you and me, that we might never have to fear the penalty, the ultimate eternal penalty that comes when we fail the vineyard owner. My brothers and sisters, may we produce the fruits of the kingdom of God. May we truly be good sharecroppers in this vineyard, producing the fruit of the kingdom of God and returning it to Him in glory. Let us be good tenants of this gift we have been given and serve and work for the good of the kingdom of God in this city, in this place, and at this time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.